At LinkHumans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, son, Svejson, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at LinkHumans. We are, of course, fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. So today we are heading into the semis. Yes, we're talking to the world's largest semiconductor chip manufacturer. And this tech company has been around for a while and recently had an update to its brand, the master brand. And I have to say, I really like it. And we're going to chat about the setup of the EB function, the newish EVP, how it gets activated, and plenty more. So let's start the show. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jorgen. Thanks so much for having me here today.
My pleasure. So please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I work at Intel and I run our employer brand and digital marketing team. We're a team of about 10 and we cover employer brand for Intel globally. I love my team. They are some of the smartest, funniest, and most amazing humans to work with. I am so fortunate to get to work with them every day and to get to talk to you about them and what we do.
Great. Okay. So Intel, that brings me back to like TV ads some time ago. Intel inside sort of chips that go into computers. But why don't you give us the summary of the story? What is Intel?
Right. Do you remember the dancing bunny suit or even the Simpsons? We did some Simpsons advertising a long, long time ago.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one after YouTube.
One spring afternoon, many years ago, Gordon Moore met with Bob Noyce when Bob was out mowing his lawn. And in the course of their conversation, Moore suggested that semiconductor memory, an emerging technology at the time, might form the basis of this new company. Then in July of 68, those two started Intel. Shortly thereafter, Andy Grove joined them. Those three men were the founders and formed the leadership of the company that produced the technological innovations that have lived within the industry forever and changed our lives forever since then.
And quickly, Gordon Moore, is he the man behind Moore's Law?
He is. That's what keeps us moving at this breakneck speed of faster and smaller.
Wow. Okay. And where are you located?
I am based in Arizona, but our corporate headquarters are in Santa Clara.
Great. And you have just about over 100,000 employees, I think?
We do. About 110 based around the world.
Great. Okay. And have you got a fun fact for me about Intel?
We've got a few to choose from this morning. We've had enough history to pull a few out of the archives. Back in the 90s, Intel received Ford's coveted Total Quality Excellence Award, the first semiconductor company to win it. We were also in the digital watch business way back in the 70s. And for many folks, they don't know exactly where the term Intel came from, but it actually comes from the term integrated electronics.
Ah, okay. So I learned something today. Great. Okay. Now we switch gears, looking at talent and more specifically the challenge therein. What are you up against?
Yeah, this has been tough, especially during this pandemic. Most tech companies and now even some of the non-tech companies that we're talking to are seeing a scramble for this high-tech talent. We're also working on expanding our manufacturing and foundry production. We have this need to hire additional talent to fill this capacity, but we're just having a really tough time reaching out to them. I think this is a really heavy issue for most in the industry of figuring out now how we connect with future talent and also retain the critical talent that we have already.
Yeah, of course. And how would you describe the awareness of Intel as an employer?
Yeah, this is the one that all of us employer brand folks focus on, getting mindshare of your company as that employer of choice. The remit of my organization is to bring our EVP to life through the employee stories. So not just that we value inclusion and diversity as an example, but who's demonstrating this behavior? How are they doing it? And why is it fundamentally important to Intel as a company and to our overall value proposition for future talent?
Yeah, okay. And in terms of competition, I know the tech industry is notorious for competition. How would you describe the situation?
Oh, it is fierce. I meet routinely with some other employer brand leads at some of the other big tech companies, and we're all experiencing really similar challenges. We were starting to see this pop up pre-COVID, but the pandemic, being out of the physical office where you used to get perks like free gourmet food or dry cleaning or gyms, all of that was so heavily sold to talent. It's gone now. Talent realized they could work pretty much anywhere. So why would they be tied to any one location, especially one with an extremely high cost of living like the Bay Area? And now that we've stripped away all of those perks, talent's looking to find what makes work really meaningful for them. And what we're hearing is this push around balance. It used to feel almost like lip service. We would offer great work-life balance, right? That's one of the big things that you would always hear. I feel like you can read that on any company's webpage, but it wasn't always put into practice. And meeting with global teams would take place at all hours. You would see emails coming in at 3 a.m. with this expectation to respond. And the pandemic just kind of collectively broke us. But I think the cool thing that's happened, what we're hearing from talent now, is that they've been setting boundaries and expectations for themselves versus the companies setting it for them. If they don't align with someone's personal beliefs and values, then talent's leaving. They know there are other opportunities. And because now at the end of the day, mental health and the ability to live your life and work, those are the main perks that companies should be focused on. And if you want to continue to hire and retain top talent, you really have to live into those values of mental health, wellness, and having that break from work to live your life.
Yes, absolutely. Right. So tell us about employer brand at Intel. How did it come about, and what are your objectives and structures and team and so on?
Yeah. So we ended up refreshing our corporate brand mid-pandemic as well at the end of last year. And then the employer brand followed suit this year in February. The goal of the employer brand is for us that it should hang together with that corporate brand, but not be identical. We say unity, not uniformity, or as I like to call it, matching luggage. For our brand, we wanted to highlight the wonderful things about working at Intel. The language in our messaging allows for really good flexibility across geos while staying true to its intent. And then visually, the employer brand is one that should inspire you to want to learn more or take action with visual cues like our new logo, Spark. It was very exciting. This is the first time we've refreshed our logo in a very long time. So those new Spark boxes allow us to highlight bold new ideas, information, or inspire our readers. And the flexibility of this new brand has been huge because it also allows our geos to adapt and make sense for cultural nuances. For example, having a visual identity and image style established lets us create localized variants. And we found that those localized variants tend to outperform the global content almost every time and allows us to do something wonderful. I snuck that one in, Jorgen. That's our new branding.
Oh, very clever.
Okay. Very cheeky. Yeah. The objectives of the brand, though, are full of confidence without being arrogant, ambitious and inspiring, but still being grounded and optimistic. We're community-based. There's a sense of belonging, whether speaking about the company or the world, professional, but maintaining a human warmth and inclusive. We use the terms we and us when referring to Intel and our employees. And the structure of the team is really broken out into functional areas, with everyone working together to support our four main focus areas. And those are brand, advocacy, always on storytelling, and insights and analytics. And we have individuals sitting across the globe to help better tap into local needs and nuances.
Great. And employer brand, are you part of talent acquisition or marketing or any other departments?
Yeah, it's the big divide, right? We're either in HR or marketing. When I started on the team, we were in HR, and we've since moved out into marketing and sit within our global communications organization.
Okay, great. Yeah. And EVP, do you have an EVP? And if so, how did you arrive at it?
Yeah, love a good EVP. For us, we looked at the data. Data is what drives all of our decision-making. And really, what inspires that current and future talent? What do they most want to know about when researching their next career? For us, that meant tapping into our history as well as highlighting the future of Intel. There are some perks of not being the new kids on the block, so to speak. We don't really have to tell you who we are. Most people already know who Intel is, but we do have some perception issues to overcome. We have to show that our rich history established the foundation for the future. So for us, that equated to Intel and our people and having made a profound impact on society. Today, we're fearless, as we've always been, building the future and solving the world's biggest problems by unlocking the power of data to transform business. It helps us celebrate our differences, welcome unique perspectives, and encourage one-of-a-kind problem solving. We're high performers who thrive in a fast-paced, ethical workplace, and our global presence and unique benefits give each of us the chance to chase our personal and career happiness.
How do you break it down? Do you have any pillars to support this EVP?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We do. We broke this out into four pillars that then help us craft the storytelling around our EVP. Those pillars are focused on tech leadership, the workplace, and within workplace, that allows some flexibility to talk about careers, health, wellness, benefits. We also have a corporate social responsibility, diversity, inclusion, and equity pillar. And then lastly, localized story pillar, so that we can really tease out those local, highly specific stories to engage with that market versus trying to always tell a global story.
Okay, nice. And so out of these four pillars, which one seemed to attract and retain the best, would you say?
That's a good one. We have some time to set up to review the data from the past 6 months. Historically, we had seen a really big push around CSR and D&I conversations. Over the past year, though, we seem to be trending more into that tech leadership and workplace section. And having these pillars within the EVP really allows us to dial up or dial down, depending on what that future talent is most engaged with.
Great. Okay. And I'm intrigued with this local stories pillar. Could you give us an example of a local story, something that's performed well?
Yeah. So we're working on one right now. We have a huge population of employees in India, and they have been experiencing some incredible challenges around COVID and vaccinations. There are local teams who have been running vaccine drives and health and wellness clinics for our employees. And some employees were sharing photos of themselves getting vaccinated now at the India campuses. And we were able to have them share out those local photos and show what's going on in their community and how they're further helping get vaccines into arms, both of the employees and their family members. So really lovely opportunity to do that storytelling, but also supporting their community.
Great. Okay. So you just gave us an example of this, but how do you go about activating the employer brand? I know you do a lot of work in employee advocacy, D&I, and global editorial. So why don't we start with advocacy?
Yeah, we're going through a bit of a reboot here. For anyone else who used to use Elevate, and has had to find something else, we are all collectively experiencing some heartburn here. It's probably the biggest topic that comes up when I get to connect with the other employer brand leaders around the world. Most of the companies have had policies in place for years that almost scared away our employees from advocating on their behalf. I get it. You don't want IP to leak or someone to say something they shouldn't, but you also have to have trust in your talent. They came to work for your company for a reason. And if you want like-minded superstars, you have to let them talk about why they love working for you. For us, that means developing an advocacy strategy that thoughtfully allows all 110,000 employees to safely share stories that inspire them in a way that's easy to do, and so that their networks can then see the wonderful work and inspire them to take action.
Great. And are you seeing, so LinkedIn Elevate, they stop their service, are you using a different technology?
They did. This is it. We cry over this almost daily. We're in the process of shifting over to a new product, and we're piloting with those former Elevate users, getting them comfortable on the platform and working through those logistics. But it's we spent about 2 years on Elevate, and we've been on our new platform for only about 2 months. So it's a journey. We're getting there. We're getting our legs under us, but. It's definitely a new territory for a lot of us.
Yeah, I think one benefit of using a different tool is that perhaps it's a bit broader in its distribution, which to my understanding, Elevate only did LinkedIn and Twitter, I think. So could perhaps cover a few more platforms and channels.
Yeah. Our new tool will allow us to reach across any network that an employee may have. You can access it on your mobile device. So any network that you have on your phone, any app, you can share to those networks. So it really did expand there, which is a huge benefit then in countries like China and Russia or any of the others that are using more country-specific social media, because now they will have access to share out on those channels.
Great. And do you encourage your user to use a specific hashtag?
We do. Our hashtag is I am Intel.
Okay. And because I think your account is We Are Intel.
So that's right.
That's
plays
the collective
nicely.
One.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. And could you also talk to us about diversity and inclusion campaigns?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are right now in the middle of Pride Month. It's always a big one for us, but one of a few heritage months and days of celebration that we focus on. We work together with our Diversity, Inclusion, and Equity Program Office to better understand what is important to them, what messages are important to share out, initiatives, as well as our Public Affairs and Policy Office. What legislation are we working on to better support the diverse employees that we have working for us and that we want to come to work here? And we take that as an opportunity to identify those diversities of our employees and tell their stories to highlight what makes each individual so special and unique in a way that doesn't exclude anyone through that storytelling.
Great. And I know you've also been working on building a global editorial. What is a global editorial? And how is it working out?
It is a challenge is what it is, but it's a way that allows us to do that both global and localized storytelling. So the team meets every week to talk about what stories we want to focus on in the upcoming weeks. What are the big news opportunities or product launches or things coming out of teams that would be really inspiring for us to share? And then we weave in global pieces of content. So sometimes we will push a localized story and target it just to that country. And sometimes we'll take that localized story and share it out globally so that we can give this very broad mix of what's going on around the world, but then also highly target those stories to individuals within certain cities or countries.
Nice. Okay. And the million-dollar question is, how do you go about measuring a return on investment on the employer brand efforts?
All the data. Yeah, that is a really good one. We set up our KPIs this year around an always-on storytelling approach for our media buy, and that was based around awareness. And we use those awareness KPIs to make sure that we're getting our content in front of that critical tech talent. We focused on a few key countries where we know hiring is hot for us, and we are tracking the awareness and engagement with the content. I think a lot of us are using some tracking data to see if they start at the very highest level, and then if we can follow them through to apply. But even just getting that awareness in front of them through engagement and interaction with the content is where we take that focused piece. In terms of data sharing, though, you got to prove out what you're doing, right? Or you don't get the big budgets to keep doing it. So we try to be as transparent as possible with those metrics. And we share out weekly, how is the content performing, both paid and organic? Where do we need to dial up or dial down on those different pillars of storytelling? And then how is it making an impact in those countries, those critical countries where we're spending? Are these stories hitting the right audience? Are they engaging with it? And if not, do we need to shift it? It's a constant review of data and what's performing and what's not, and then shifting and iterating as need be.
Great. Okay. Right. So, I'm sure you've got plenty of tips to our listeners. So, what would be your top three tips to employer brand professionals listening to this episode right now?
Ooh, top three. Let's see if I can get down to just three. I think the first one would be establishing a longer term strategic focus and then taking goals against it. If you really, it's really easy to say we do employer brand and then let everything under the sun fall into that bucket. And before you know it, you know, you're not doing employer branding anymore. You're doing 8 million other things. So having that focus area really allows you to identify what is and isn't working through data. The second thing would be to listen to current and future talent. Ask them why they came to work at the company. It's a really great time right now to do this. It's intern season, and they're a wonderful resource to get some of these insights from. Or what would inspire them to want to work for a company? And then build out your editorial plans around that. And lastly, probably being fearless. I'm still working on this one, but no one is expecting you to be perfect. And the really fun thing about being on social media is that you have someone's attention for such a short window of time. If you mess up or fall flat, it's really no big deal. You're probably putting out something new tomorrow. And that's allowed us to become a bit more human and relatable. I'll give you a quick fun example. We love our partners over at Microsoft Life. And last year, they launched a campaign focused on cats of their employees. This is pandemic marketing at its finest, right? And we saw the International Dog Day was about a month after they had done this posting. And quickly asked our employees to share their puppy pictures. And then we took those pictures and turned them into what looked like Intel badges and did a little woof back at our friends over at Microsoft. And it was a really fun opportunity and helped show a lighter side of who we are.
Keeping it positive.
Love it.
Great. Okay. And did your puppies, did they make it into this campaign?
They did not. We only had so much space and I figured I would roll over and let some of the other pups take their place.
Oh, that's good of you. Okay. And I know you've been at Intel for about 10 years. How long have you worked in this function now?
Oh, goodness. It's been about 7 years.
Wow. Okay. So what is it that makes your role so special?
I would have to say it's the people. I am a storyteller at heart, and this job gives me the opportunity to tell over 110,000 stories, each one of them unique. I mean, think about how amazing is that? Every individual employee has a story to tell, and it is a wonderful and humbling opportunity to get to share those stories with the world.
Absolutely. Great. Okay. Final question is, where can our listeners connect with yourself and where can they learn more about Intel in general?
Yeah, you can connect with me at Sarah Vitas and you can follow Intel and our employer branded channels through We Are Intel for all the latest, greatest storytelling goings on and of course, adorable puppy pictures.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Sarah.
Jorgen, thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure talking to you today.
Okay, there we go, folks. Be sure to reach out to Sarah and thank her ever so much for sharing her insights. And I'll be checking out those pooch pics. You know, we've had both Chewy and PetSmart on the show. So by now, I know what cute looks like. So you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com or linkhumans.com, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, all the usual places. Finally, just wanted to pick up on something that Sarah mentioned, which was to limit the scope of employer brand before you find yourself fighting fires and doing everything and nothing inside a company. Now, our handy employer brand index measures a company's sentiment in 16 areas of employer brand, some which are influenced by your efforts, but others may be outside of your circle of influence. Now, we believe that by measuring and having the insights, our clients can then partner up with other departments and decision makers who are influential to an employer brand but may not be aware of it, or they may not even be aware of the concept of employer brand. So we found that having independent research carried out gets leaders to sit up and pay attention. So perhaps this could help you and your function. So check out the Employer Brand Index at linkhumans.com or feel free to ping me to learn more. That is it. Thank you so much for tuning in this week and look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
So Jorgen, true story, I boiled a funny bone once. I turned it into a laughing stock.